So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Those watching the news yesterday will have seen the North Korean parade of military might and been disturbed by the weaponry that was on display. Last night, as I was writing this, the news articles were commenting on the fears of a variety of countries at what was a demonstration of potential military might and a threat that their nuclear capabilities were about to be tested again. And this morning, it would appear that's true, although a failed attempt. It was poignant that such a display should take place on Holy Saturday, and a reminder of the two worlds that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, continues to negotiate. Yesterday, as I was coming up the hill to the vigil service, the breaking news was that a bus carrying Syrians escaping the conflict had been blown up. On a day when we were marking the darkness of the world without an understanding of the creative power of God, we were also reminded of the continual fear and destruction that surrounds our world. Both of these events linger in the air of this Easter morning. Coming to worship, living in the world, are constant reminders that fear stalks our doors. Fear comes in many forms, from the personal to the worldly, and left unchallenged, it can lead us to become inactive, uncertain as to how best to respond to what's going on around us. Our Easter reading places fear and joy alongside one another. And we are invited to see them as entwined around each other. As we explore the notion of being full of joy in the midst of being afraid, let's pause and reflect on some thoughts about crucifixion. Here in Dunfermline, we live a fairly sanitised life. There's not an inhospitable occupying force living in our community, quelling any uprisings with military might and force. We might think of present-day Israel, Palestine, or Syria, and the circumstances that people face on a daily basis. But for most of us, that is distant knowledge, easily turned off with the television or radio switch, or hidden when we close the newspaper. The gospel is not a sanitized life. In Jerusalem, the might of the occupying Roman forces was prevalent as the Roman guard moved through the city. Crucifixion was a bloodthirsty sport. Crowds gathered to watch the latest condemned victim. The act of crucifixion and the actions after death were meant to humiliate the victim, quell uprisings, and show those who were following the victim that the beliefs and practices were nothing but foolish notion. The popular hero would be left to rot, their followers too afraid to claim the body. Jesus' death is a little different because Pilate shows some mercy and allows for Jesus' body to be taken and buried. However, in the last verses of the previous chapter, we learn that a guard is placed on the tomb to ensure that no one steals the body. There's a sense of two-way fear in this story. It's almost as though the might of earth is afraid of the might of heaven. Fear continues into our passage, and the guard of the tomb faint with fear as quelling an earthquake, and the tomb is opened. The resurrected Jesus makes his appearance. It's not the guard I'm worried about, though. Instead, the women are an interesting observation. They appear very early at the tomb, and we're told that they've come to look. The Greek word used is the word theoresai. That's the word that we get theory from. And it suggests that they're doing more than looking. In fact, they're observing the tomb. From the beginning of the waiting for the resurrection, there's a glimpse that through the fear, the followers of Jesus are still holding to hope. They've not just come to glance at this tomb. They've come to watch it, to see what's going to happen. They're attentively looking for the promise that they have been told to be revealed. The angel of the Lord asks the women to do three things. Do not be afraid, come and see, go and tell. These invitations make it clear that what they're about to experience and see is a beginning rather than an ending. And in fact, Jesus then repeats them as an invitation, that the meeting of him is not an ending, it's still the beginning. Unlike the Roman guard, the women's fear does not render them immobile. Instead, it mixes with joy. Jesus isn't there, they don't know how, but they have hope of all they've been told and experienced. They sense that this is an exciting beginning rather than a devastating end. And we should notice fear and joy sitting together, perhaps not comfortably, but a recognition that in the midst of difficult times, there is hopeful joy to be found and grasped. That notion of fear and joy, of grief and despair sitting alongside hope, is something that is contained within our activity when it comes to sharing communion. But we might not even realize it. At a lecture by David Grummet on his book Material Eucharist, he spoke about the earliest sharing of this celebratory meal taking place amongst the tombs. The early followers of the way shared bread and wine where new life had been revealed. As Christianity became a more formal worship practice, priests created tombs within worship spaces. And so that thing below there, what you thought was a table, is more than a table. It's not just a representation of the table at the Last Supper. It is also a representation of the tomb of Jesus, the place where new life is revealed. To make that connection between the tomb more visually possible, some early churches placed the bones of saints near the communion table or in the communion table. Perhaps the most visually captivating representation of this is in the Basilica of St. Ambrose in Milan, where the body of the saint is preserved behind the altar table. I hope it also helps you to understand that tradition within the Roman Catholic faith tradition, where a remnant is kept. It's not such a strange idea when we begin to see that they are holding the tomb and new life together, that we celebrate communion where we wait for new life. Bread and wine are shared in the fear of not understanding death, but in the joy of the hope of resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is not an end point in the gospel story. Instead, it's the beginning of something new. The gospel tells us that the women are sent to prepare the disciples to make their way to Galilee. Resurrection creates new possibilities. This morning is not the end of Holy Week. It's the beginning of the rest of our lives. We live in fear of what we don't know is coming, and yet we live in joy because we know that Christ will journey with us. Resurrection allows us to experience joy in the midst of difficulty. It doesn't remove us from hardship, or limitations, or challenges. Instead, it invites us to allow God's creative power to rumble the stones around until we see new purpose ahead. I hope this morning that in the week that comes, you find your stones rumbled and that you have a sense of the joy to be found when God's Spirit disturbs you and takes you on with new purpose. Amen.